Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, June 19th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 46, and we are reading the first full paragraph beginning with, yes, we have agnostic temperament, ending with, or comprehend that power, which is God. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Joanne L., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Mary Frances will be reading the 12 Traditions, Janice P.M. will be reading the text, Vanessa G. is reading page 164, and Dion R. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, June 11th, Thursday, June 18th, 2026, Eastern Time meet, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,570 or 23570. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,562 or 23562. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political, movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey there, Joanne.
Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service and everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L., and I am recovered, and I live in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us in the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And we will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Mary Frances.
Hey, Stephanie. Yes, this is Mary Frances W., recovered, not cured, in Pennsylvania. And here are the 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary Frances W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Chapter 4, We Agnostics. We are on page 46. The first full paragraph beginning with, yes, we have agnostic temperament, ending with, or comprehend that power which is God. And we are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And we will now ask Janice P.M. to please begin reading. Hey, Janice.
And good morning to you, Stephanie L. This is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I live in Massachusetts. Yes, we of agnostic temperament have had these thoughts and experiences. Let us make haste to reassure you. We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. Dynamic, dynamic paragraph. And I want to first thank God for having the pioneers write this most important chapter 4. The unselfishness of our pioneers, right, and his experience. Yeah, right. Well, when I came into the program, I had a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, you know, and I knew a lot of things. Oh, I was very smart, very smart, but I didn't know how to stop eating compulsively. So I was told surrendering what I found out. Surrendering my intellectual pride, my self-sufficiency, my self-reliance on myself, and prejudice in favor of a spiritual willingness, I would get some results. Now, the crucial turning point was when I became willing to simply consider, just consider a possibility that there could be a power greater than myself. Imagine somebody more powerful than me, yes, and help me to solve my problem. And then as we see and we get a spiritual awakening, it solves all our problems, this power. So referring refusing to try this program, you know why? Because I was brought up with such a rigid definition of God. But when I came into these rooms, you know, I felt comfortable. I didn't feel criticized. I came with a lot of baggage, remember, telling me, we only have this God, this is what the God is, and this is how you should believe, you know. But as I learned, it was okay. They said it's okay to discard. You know, it's okay to discard and accept whatever idea about God. Well, let me tell you, when you tell me I can do my own ideas, I'll go for that one. You know, I can eat what I want. No, but this is what was according to my ideas. So my ideas and my emotions and my attitudes in the group was really a guiding force to help me with this. You know, what I knew for myself was, one, I wasn't that higher power. It was greater than me. Okay, and it can't be a human being because another human being is not more powerful than me. However, when you first come in, the fellowship supported me tremendously, and I felt so comfortable. So I needed to really not just think my way out of this, my addiction. I had to be beaten into a state of reasonableness, which meant I'm just going to finish up with this. We don't have to understand God or a higher power, because my higher power understands me and understands us. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice PM. What a wonderful way to get us started this morning. What a great paragraph. So we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up. And if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Susan.
Leah. Michelle
C. Okay. I heard Susan. Susan, what's your last initial?
S-H.
S-H. And you're calling from?
Ohio.
Okay.
Leah in Texas.
Everyone is talking at the same time. One at a time.
Leah.
Leah, where are you calling from?
Lodi, California.
California. And Doreen, I heard you. What's your last initial?
N is in Nancy.
And where are you calling from?
Texas.
Gotcha. Okay.
Michelle C.
Michelle, is that Michelle WC in California?
Michelle C in Missouri.
Oh, Michelle C in Missouri. Okay, sorry about that.
Nancy L.
And Nancy, where are you calling from?
Arizona.
Arizona, gotcha.
Michelle WC in California.
I thought I heard you. Michelle WC in California, gotcha. Do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup? Okay, let me tell you who I've got. I've got Susan S.H., Leah R.F., Doreen N., Michelle C., Nancy L., and Michelle W.C. We're going to start with Susan S.H., followed by Leah R.F. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio, and I am a compulsive overeater recovered for today. Very grateful. I remember reading this with my initial sponsor, and what a relief it was when I didn't think that I didn't know if I could regain a belief that I had let go of. So even a willingness to believe, I really latched onto this. I wasn't so sure I could, but being here working with my sponsor, I knew I was willing, and I was desperate. Now, could I trust the words I was reading?
Susan, you're muted. We can't hear you, Susan. You just dropped off. Are you still there? Susan S.H.?
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, there you go. We can hear you now.
Sorry about that. What a comfort it was. I didn't have to jump on anyone's bandwagon, nor define or comprehend this power. The willingness to believe and to take the actions was my start. I believe I keep growing in faith when I keep working the steps. They are my directions. Today, my first reliance is on my higher power. And life is beautiful when I practice this. When I do what it says, I get what it says. It works when I work it. So I'm always amazed and I'm always grateful. And I think I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Susan S.H. in Ohio. Next, we've got Leah R.F., followed by Doreen N. Good morning, Leah.
Yeah, hi, this is Leah R.F., calling from Lodi, California. Thank you so much for your service, and I really like this paragraph, and I definitely related to it in the sense that I wasn't raised in a really strict, strenuous religious upbringing. But I was raised with a particular kind of, you know, religion or kind of this concept of God that for me it felt definitely like blasphemous to break away from and to explore anything else. And I found for me that having the female aspect in my higher power was something really important. But because I, again, felt like that might be a blasphemous concept, I just kind of swept it all under the rug. And it's not that I didn't believe in some kind of higher power, but it just kind of ran parallel with my life. It wasn't something where we had this strong relationship and I relied upon it and that I really like dove into that relationship. And so I felt like in working the steps, OA really gave me permission to kind of lift up the rug where I had swept the concept of my higher power and to really examine it and to really look at it and to really go ahead and start to develop that relationship. And for me, that has been absolutely instrumental in my recovery. When I woke up this morning, the first thing I did was turn my life and my will over to my higher power, because I can't manage my life. I can't manage this disease on my own. And through this program, I have released almost half of my body weight, and I can't attribute that to anything other than powers outside of myself and this OA program. And so it's just so wonderful to have that relationship now. You know, my higher power is all loving. Again, my higher power looks in a way that is palatable to me. And I do understand at the same time, for me, at the end of the day, it kind of doesn't matter what actually is, whatever that, you know, source of energy, whatever God, whatever higher power, whatever it truly looks like. What I know today is that it is acting in my life, and that if I seek it out it will help me. It will help me in everything, even like it says in step two, even something like my food, which to me felt so small. It felt like, well, you know, God, my higher power is balancing, you know, the cosmos here. Certainly I can manage something as small as my food. Certainly I can manage, you know, what I put in my mouth. But I couldn't manage that, and I can't manage that still, even being a normal weight. I will never be a normal eater, and I'm okay with that because it has brought me closer to my higher power, and I am doing things like praying every day and meditating every day, which I never thought would be normal practices in my life, and I'm really grateful for that. I thought prayer was just for, you know, people who... Thank you so much, and with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Leah R.F. in California. Next, we've got Doreen N., followed by Michelle C. Good morning, Doreen. Doreen, can you press star one to unmute?
Okay, I'm unmuted. I got you. Doreen N., compulsive overeater. Definitely not cured, definitely not recovered. I've been in the food. I thought that if I've been in the food, God doesn't, excuse my language, doesn't give a shit about me, but I have to do my part. I've been in the donuts literally every day. There's been days I've had no food, donuts all day. God doesn't want that for me. God wants me to have nutritious meals and to fuel my body. That's what he wants for me. And I thought, well, there's obviously no God because I can't stop. Well, I can't stop and stay stopped without a higher power. That's the bottom line, and that's what it says that we agnostics. We need a higher power. And I thought that he said goodbye to me. And I'm like, well, hello, donuts. And I lost 15 pounds. I gained 20. I'm so lucky that it was just 20. It could have been 50. It could have been 100. But God said, and I made phone calls. I was like, man, I want the donuts, man. Please, please, you know, just help me, God. And I made phone calls, and I listened to John Kay, the podcast in A Vision for You, Sunday edition, and said, vainless attempts. And that's what I've been doing for 31 years. And he said his first abstinence was a pink cloud abstinence, easy. And he lost it, and then it became hard. And he said that his only job, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but with God, he says, your job is in the first 30 days, even if you have to white knuckle it, is to stay abstinent. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know. But today I signed in to tell on myself that I have not been abstinent, and that I have 2 days of donuts, no donuts, and that's a reason to celebrate. I pass.
Thank you so much, Doreen, and from Texas. We're so glad that you're here. Next, we've got Michelle C., followed by Nancy L. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, I'm Michelle C., recovered compulsive overeater from Missouri, and I'm happy to be on this meeting. Yeah, I remember the first time I read this paragraph with a sponsor as well. And, you know, I'm a person that, like, I love certainty. I love knowing exactly what's happening. I like clearly defined things. You know, I really turned to that for safety and comfort my whole life. So to kind of have permission to not have to have something figured out for it to work, just to like believe that it exists and is there, and to just make space and room for it to grow and show me was like a new concept, but it felt like relieving. Like, okay, there's not this special code that I have to punch in that's exactly right. I don't have to do this exact prayer 5 times a day at the right time. Like, it's nothing like that. It's like, you know, just believe it exists. And you know, it also says that we found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice, and I'm really grateful for my sponsor for giving me assignments as we were working the steps that really highlighted what those prejudices were, because I honestly didn't realize they existed. Some underlying beliefs that I had about you know, God, and examining those and allowing God, the, like this higher power, to come in and really show me the truth in those and kind of break those wide open, was really powerful for me. And it really like cleared away a path that I could develop a relationship with whatever this, you know, higher power was. And, you know, I find that, you know, although, you know, I've been in program a while, I still feel like this. Like I still feel like I make room for this relationship to ebb and flow, for my higher power to show up in different ways. It's not the same way every time. And I still don't have this figured out and clearly defined. But I still know that this higher power like loves me and is for me and wants good for me and will guide me and lead me, even if it's not the way I want it or in the right timing that I think is best. I believe in that. And so whatever that looks like, as long as I'm making room and seeking, I know that I'm on the right path. And so I'm just really grateful for this paragraph. It really put me at ease in the very beginning, like, I don't have to have this figured out. So I'm grateful to be here today. And with that, I will pause.
Thank you so much, Michelle C. in Missouri. Next, we've got Nancy L., followed by Michelle W.C. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome, newcomers. This is Nancy L., recovered in Arizona, 100-pounder, and so grateful for this meeting. So it says here, set aside the prejudice. Well, you know, I was a believer in God, the God of my childhood. But the prejudice I had was, God, why am I just getting bigger and bigger? Why are you not answering my prayer? And the founder of this vision for you, I've heard her say, well, what do you expect, that God is going to come down and slap the brownie out of your hand? No, that's not going to happen. And whenever I would go on a diet, I would make sure that it had those little special things that I could have. But just a little, yeah, just a little bit of those trigger foods. But I didn't know they were trigger foods back then. I just thought God is God. But when it comes to me getting this weight off, he doesn't care. And when I pulled into the garage about 24 years ago and turned off the key and looked at my lap and saw wrappers all over my lap, I definitely felt I could not go on one more day this way. Not one more day with the food, not one more day without the food. Just like Bill Wilson, I felt that it's time to be done. I'm going to look for ways to just get rid of my life here. Somehow, some way, there's a way. And I felt that I did feel the Spirit of God then say, it wasn't going to say, he didn't say, okay, your next diet's going to work, Nancy. Whatever you choose, it'll work. No, he said, go back to OA. That is what I felt. I had gone to two meetings in my 20s. Now I'm 55. I'm 100 pounds overweight, desperate and dying. So I went and I found out 12 steps, Nancy. You're not going to like it, but just do it. And it worked for me. Gratefully, I'm abstinent today, contingent on the fact that I stay spiritually fit. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. And next, we've got Michelle W.C. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, good morning. It's Michelle W.C. from California. And for me, I'm going to back up to the sentence before. That really struck me yesterday was that feeling of awe and wonder. You know, when I am connected to my higher power, can be fleeting and lost. That's definitely happened to me, where I have, you know, had these moments where I feel so connected with my higher power, feel a deep connection of where just that wonder and awe, and then have moments where, whether it's my prejudice or the distractions or stubbornness or sensitivity, where I tend to lose that connection. But I have found whenever I am able to believe in a power greater than myself, that I can get results. And whether that's been against, you know, believing that God can help me not eat the foods that are, or just to help me eat the foods I have committed every single day. And there are days that is really hard for me, that I really want to change something or add something. And there are days that's hard and there's days that's really easy, but I'm glad that I'm willing to do that. And, you know, even this morning I had a situation come up where I got a couple texts where someone's going to come visit me at 8:30 today. And I was just kind of like, what? Hold on. I didn't know you were going to come. And so it was just like, oh, hold on. Nope. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God, how can I be helpful to this person? This person wants to visit. This person wants to connect. You know, I need to turn to a power greater than myself so I'm not in that, like, oh, I don't like spontaneous plans mode. But no, this person wants to visit. How can I be helpful to this person? How can I be useful? And you know, for me, it's just been turning my will over to God. And I feel that I'm getting, I don't know, working at that. But also, for me, it was I'm able to do that in my morning time really easy. Like I'm able to, you know, have this half hour with God and feel just super connected. But then I get to work or I start talking to my kids and then that's all gone. It becomes fleeting. And so I'm learning to pause. I've been setting an alarm on my clock where I have this like little ding every hour where I just, if I hear it and I'm thoughtful, I just try to take that moment to pause and, you know, connect with God, you know. Whether I say, I am enough, I have enough, I do enough, or thy will be done, just to keep that connection with God, because it is so easy for me to get distracted and back into my old habits of, you know, of Michelle trying to run the show and being in my own self-will. But as I've heard so many other fellows say, when I get out of the way and I let God run the show, then you get the results that are really amazing. And so I'm working on that this morning, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle W.C. in California. Before I get a next lineup, let me remind you all where we are. We are in the big book, page 46, the first full paragraph, beginning with, yes, we have agnostic temperament, ending with, or comprehend that power which is God. We read that one paragraph. That's what we're focusing our shares on today. Also a reminder, if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And please keep your share to 3 minutes and I will remind you when your time is up. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Regina.
I think I heard Regina B. Is that correct?
Yeah, I am B. Yes.
And Regina B., where are you calling from?
California.
And I've got you, Diane B. Where are you calling from?
New York.
New York.
Thank you.
Gotcha. Sure.
Rachel G.
Patricia B.
I think I heard a Veronica.
Yes, Veronica B.
And Veronica, where are you calling from?
California.
California. And then I heard Patricia. What was your last initial?
Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina.
And can you say your initials again? I didn't quite catch that.
It's Patricia Ann D.
N D. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Was there anyone else that I didn't catch? I've got Regina, Rachel. Diane, Veronica, Patricia.
Rachel G. from New York.
Rachel G. is in God?
George.
Or G. is in whatever, George. Okay, got it. All right. Got you, Rachel. Let's see. 15. I think that'll take us to the end. So we're going to see how this goes. So again, I've got Regina B., Diane B., Veronica B., Patricia N. D., Rachel G. We'll go ahead and start with Regina B., followed by Diane B. Good morning, Regina.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Regina, and I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And I love this paragraph. You know, that's me. Like, I've always had a problem with believing in a God or a faith. I think the last time I had a belief in God was when I was 13, and then after that, I just totally did not believe anymore. I did not believe in God, and I just tried to do everything my will, right? I ran the show, Regina was in charge, and I never, you know, had a relationship with a higher power. That, for whatever reason, that wasn't really, like, talked about, you know, like, you know, thinking about God when you wake up and turning your life and your will over. Like, even though I grew up in a very traditional religious home, that was never discussed. Anyway, now that I'm in OA, I've been coming to visions. I've been coming to some other strong, you know, OA meetings. And I hear the people with the most recovery, the people that have been abstinent for a long time, like many, many years, like they say it over and over how important it is, and that the big book is basically designed so that we believe in a power greater than ourselves. And it doesn't matter what it is. As long as you believe that you're not God, that you're not running the show, that power can be anything, like people have said already in this meeting. It could be your dog. It could be the ocean. It could be whatever. And I want to get better. I want to stay abstinent, and I'm willing. And that is one of the words that is in that paragraph. Regina is willing to believe in something that is not her. And like I said before in this meeting, where did my will get me? How wonderful has my life been because I've been running the show? So I'm willing to try a different way. I'm willing to believe in something greater than myself. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Regina B. from California. Next, we've got Diane B., followed by Veronica B. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Thank you, Janice, for your open share, your opening share, and thank you, everyone who is here to keep this meeting alive. I'm Diane B., grateful to be recovered here in Tarrytown, New York. And I don't know if I was agnostic or atheist. I think I was a little bit of both. But I remember the exact moment in time when I was like maybe 5 years old when I said, oh, there's no God, because something happened and there was no thunder or lightning and there was no punishment and like nothing, right? So I was like, okay, no God. And then the first time somebody showed me the steps, which was probably in 1984, give or take, he gave me a pamphlet, and as soon as I got down to the word God, I handed it right back. I said, oh, this isn't for me. Lo and behold, 2 years later, I found myself in these rooms. And people just kept telling me to keep an open mind, right? So that's what I did. And then it says, let us make haste to reassure you. Haste means speed. And I had been taught that we need to get through these steps as quickly as we can because we're on a race against this disease. The disease wants us either dead or fat, for me anyway, but definitely miserable. And so we have to do this quickly, and that's how I try to take my sponsees through the steps also. That's how I was taken through the steps this last time that really hit it for me. But I've also noticed, like, I'm over 100 pounds, less than I was, my top weight, and I've had many relapses, which is part of this disease. But it took me a while. It was actually this week, you know, like my definition of my higher power changes and matures and evolves just as I do as I go through the years. And I change and I evolve and I mature. But this week, listening to everybody sharing, it came to me, I had the thought that I couldn't really truly believe in God, and I couldn't truly really turn my will and my life over to what I consider God until I stopped playing God. So as long as I was trying to run the show and trying to control whatever, my food, the people in my life, my job, whatever it is, as long as I was trying to control it, there's no room for God or higher power to do that work. And somebody else reminded me this week that, you know, I can do all the planning, I could do all the footwork, but God is in charge of the results. So I am not in the results business. That is for higher power to do for me. So, again, I just want to emphasize the word haste because we do need to do this as quickly as we can and as thoroughly as we can so that we can get to that point where we have this really nice relationship with a higher power, and then we have to continue to grow it, to enhance it, whatever. And so I think that with that I'm going to pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Diane B. in New York. Next, we've got Veronica B., followed by Patricia N.D. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica B. a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I'm in California. It says here, we found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. That's giving me an instruction. This book is the treasure map to my higher power, and it's telling me what to do. Because someone as defiant as me coming into Overeaters Anonymous in 09, I had to learn a new way of living, because I used to think I had a certain belief system. And when I got here, I was told, you have to change everything about my thinking. And so this book, every time it gives an instruction, like I have to take that as long as I stay willing, honest, and open-minded. And I was told those were the three things were necessary for me to be able to stay in that state so that God can enter into my heart, that God can live in my consciousness. Because that's what I need today, that a conscious contact with God at all times. Because with that, I won't want to take the first bite. Because having conscious contact with God is what reminds me that I am a compulsive overeater and a bulimic down to my core, and that I cannot eat certain foods that used to trigger the phenomenon of craving. And, you know, I just wasn't willing to be honest. For me, it's all about honesty and accepting my true, you know, true facts about myself, hard true facts about myself. And in the state of, you know, being honest, that's when God's grace enters, and I can, you know, have that conscious contact with God. With someone like me, that is what keeps me from taking the first bite. So it starts with me being willing, open-minded, and honest. And with that, we get results. So thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Next, we've got Patricia N. D., followed by Rachel G. Good morning, Patricia. Patricia, can you hit star one to unmute, please?
Yes, thank you. It's Patricia Ann. Anyways, for me, all I know is that when my disease took over, and when I say it took over, I never, ever experienced anything like it. I was like a mad woman. And it was like I was sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden I jumped up. And I went to the refrigerator to see what I had. And if I didn't have what I wanted, then I was stomping. Now I'm stomping, walking off to the, going into my car to the store. And then that was the first day, and it was like, okay, big deal. You know, and I got my binge foods, and then I got home, and then it happened again the next day. It was like, I want something sweet. I got jumped up again. It was like, wow, this is really weird. It's like, I ain't got no control over this. This is like a monster or something. And that's when I realized I had no control over this. I mean, I really had no control. And that was when it hit me that it's my disease that I need God for. It's my disease, not my food. It's the disease. It's my thinking. Yes, my food, eating my alcoholic foods and not staying in my boundaries and stuff with the food creates this monster. But the disease is my thinking, okay, my disturbances in my day, you know, not doing my 10th step, not working with people, none of the recovery stuff. But the disease that says I don't have a disease, the disease that says I can have some, my disease that says, okay, what can we do to make me feel better? Instead of turning to God, I'm going to turn to something. It's my disease, whether it be food, whether it be, it doesn't matter. I have a disease called more, and I want more pleasure than I want anything else. And my higher power now is teaching me to live on life's terms with him. And I get in my car this morning to go to the doctor's office. I look at my gas gauge. It's full. Got my purse, got everything. It's like I look around my yard and I'm like, wow, life is so good. It's like, you know, and then it's like kind of gave me an anxiety. It's like, when's something bad going to happen? And that's from my disease, because my disease, when I'm in my disease, stuff happens, bad stuff, you know, and or stuff that's not good. I'll just say that, you know. But I know that I need to stay close to the program, close to my sponsor, close to the steps, close, and stop thinking I got this. I have a disease is what I got. Anyways, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Patricia Ann from North Carolina. And sorry, I really botched up your name, Patricia Ann. Thanks for your patience. Next, we've got Rachel G. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel G. from New York. Thank you for your service and everyone's shares. It's really, I love this whole chapter and with this paragraph, it's like I was waiting for, like, to prove God didn't exist by being like, you didn't show up for me here and there. And I think I believed. I was in a state of the past 12 years of OA believing in God. And I think when I came in really trusting God and having an open mind, and then through a few things, just lost a lot of trust with God and was like, where were you for this? Where were you for that? You're showing up for everyone else. And it's cool to see this as I've just finished step 12 to see how my shift has, like, in my heart and thinking over the past few months has changed in knowing that I have to keep building my relationship with God and seeking God in different lights. So even just hearing everybody's shares is like opened me up, because I have gone back to sort of a God I grew up with, but you know, adjusting to without the fear that I always had, and being like, God is a friend and wants, and finding ease and comfort in God, because that's something I just never did. It was always fear based. So to have this program to open me up to God versus like seeking food, or a food behavior, something, some outside external thing, I am really, really grateful. And I think, like, also just not, I don't know who, what, where, I can't even comprehend what God is. And that's something that from this paragraph that, like, even when, like, I can't say I want this and then just expect it. It's like, I have to find peace in the patience and find peace when the pieces aren't moving. And that's just the reality of, like, I can't even fathom how God is moving all the pieces of the puzzle right now. But there's so many moving in the world and in my soul and everybody around me that I'm like, wow, such a fantastic, like, choreographer. So that's my share. Really grateful for this meeting, and thank you for your service.
Well, perfect timing, Rachel G. from New York. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Vanessa G., can you please read A Vision for You?
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, everybody, for a great meeting. This is Vanessa G., recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. This is A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will continually disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.